This ain't no disco, ho-ho.
Ain't no gingerbread house, neither.
This is the Winter Wonderland in RVA. Welcome back, everybody.
Welcome to another titillating episode of
Oh La La in the Dungeon. Season 2.
Episode 29.
And it's a holiday episode, everyone. We're in our holiday season.
Yes, hard to believe, I know.
Christmas is coming up.
Yep.
Although we are recording this on one of the coldest days yet, I feel like. Yeah. I was not prepared for that during my afternoon walk.
And it could be the first or the last in Richmond because...
Yeah. God, it keeps getting warmer and warmer.
I know. That's why I sound like this once again. Every time it goes up and down.
So what we got on this episode?
So we have a very exciting guest. I've known her a long time. I'm excited to catch up with her. And learn a little bit about bodybuilding. But first, we will also get into our hot topic.
Which we're going to be talking about the Cybertruck. Yes, Elon Musk's Cybertruck. We keep seeing it everywhere. And then we're going to have our interview, of course, and Big Daddy will be dropping it on us.
What you talking about
and
tonight?
And on this episode, I'm going to be talking about the origins of Krampus and some events.
Of course, we have our upcoming events. The business of the week, our band of the week,
and then shout outs as usual.
Per the usual. So let's introduce our guest. Amanda is a young woman. Sent this bio.
I said middle-aged.
Yeah, and I was like, she's younger than me, so ain't no way I'm saying middle-aged. She found a love for the gym later in life that led to competing for the first time this year as a natural masters bodybuilder. That's awesome. In her mid-30s, an injury pushed her to move into strength training per her doctor's orders after a lifetime of zero exercise. I feel you. She found a love for picking up heavy things and putting them down again and decided to compete in a bodybuilding show before she turns 40 in December. That's awesome.
Wow.
She came in second in her master's 35 plus class and she won her open class. She's also a marketing professional at Amazon Web Services, where she mostly talks to non-technical executives about why they shouldn't fire everyone and replace them with Gen AI. Let's give Amanda a warm welcome, everyone.
Welcome.
Hello.
It's nice to meet you.
You too. I'm happy to
I know.
You.
Yeah. So
your
I am at...
House. This is very nice.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Amanda and I met, we were just saying before this, like 20, 25 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
At an ENT practice, so.
I was a very bad receptionist, and I got very swiftly fired for being an asshole.
I didn't realize.
You can swear.
Okay.
I didn't realize you got fired.
Oh, yeah. What was her name? The older lady.
Susan?
Yes, she fired me.
Aww.
She fired me for being mean.
If you're listening,
Damn
Susan.
I ran into her. Okay, I ran into her in a puppy obedience training class at the SPCA.
Oh my gosh.
With my COVID dog. I have a Rottweiler named Petunia. Yep. And I had took him to the SPCA when he was like 8 weeks old to start training. And she was in there with some godforsaken doodle thing. And she did not recognize me. And I didn't say anything, but I thought about it. You know, because you go back every week and you're like, so every week I'd be like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to be like, you fired me for no reason. I was 21 years old and had no idea what I was doing. And you were so mean to me and you gave me no training. And then I would never, ever say any of it.
I just would have been like, hi, do you remember me? It's so nice to see you. Bitch.
Yes. She was miserable back then. So I tried to have grace for like, I think she was in the middle of a divorce or something, but she was so mean.
I
no
know,
excuse
yes,
to be mean.
She did get divorced and she got remarried.
Well, good for her. I hope she's very happy with her dog.
I know. I don't
God bless
know
you.
Where she is now.
But, at the SPCA, I guess.
Yeah, right?
Anyway, let's jump into this hot topic real quick.
Yes, yes.
So the Cybertruck, Matt, what do you have to say?
So the real question is it a hot car or is it a hot mess?
Ooh.
So The Cybertruck is an all-electric pickup truck with an angular design. It's made of stainless steel alloy. It can go from 0 to 60 in 2.9 seconds with a range of 500 miles. The car has an interior that is very minimalistic, but it has a large LCD screen instead of physical controls. The cost is an overwhelming $79,000 to $100,000.
Wow.
And I don't know if you guys remember back in 2019, Tesla's chief designer threw a metal ball at the armor glass windows during a demonstration.
Oh, that's cool.
And it shattered in front of a live audience. It was supposed to bounce off, and quite the opposite.
So funny.
And so have you seen any celebrities, not around here, but that have owned one or?
I don't exactly know the football player, but I know Travis Kelce's brother.
Jason Kelce.
So I went to Philadelphia and we went by his house because you can just go by his house, I guess. And we saw the Cybertruck in his garage. Or not garage, but driveway.
Well, other celebrities, Kim Kardashian.
Of course.
Katy Perry, Lady Gaga, Justin the Biebs.
Lady Gaga makes sense.
Shaquille O'Neal, and that's just from a longer list of celebrities.
That's the only car he can fit in, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
That's true.
So it's a pickup truck?
Yeah, so it has like a little, it does have a bed.
So does it have like a thing over the bed?
Yeah, it has never something
over the
bed.
That's a minivan is the word we're looking for. It's an angular minivan.
Yeah, because I actually was thinking, is it like some kind of pickup service? Because that's like, it looks like a delivery car or something.
And so we have spotted the Tesla a couple times. I saw it in the most random place. It was on the way to Lynchburg.
That is weird.
I saw it by Poe's Pub.
And we just saw one the other night. Just
there's like a purple one in this on the south side where I am out in Chesterfield. It's like, oh, it's not purple, it's that kind of metallic-y sheeny. He goes to my gym. I see it in the mornings.
I want to know what they look like on the inside.
It goes to my gym.
The car. The car goes.
They're very, very Spartan, minimalist. It's like they have, like I said, no physical controls. It's just a screen.
Are the seats comfortable?
I don't know.
So you don't drive it at all?
Yeah. Yes, you drive it.
Oh, okay. When you said no controls, I was like
it doesn't have controls for the radio or the fan or anything. So it's just a screen.
I would go insane.
I have such a problem with that.
I am a very analog person.
I like textiles.
And so here's a question. Is it just a trend, or will there be more trucks like this in the future? And what are your thoughts on the Cybertruck?
I think there'll be more.
I'm sure there'll be more, but I don't see why.
I agree with that. It gives... Whatever. This is maybe a little mean, but it gives divorced dad energy.
Yes.
It gives... Cool. I'm edgy, but I'm a dentist. Like, that's the feeling that I get from the Cybertruck.
That's so true.
Yeah.
I'm edgy, but I'm a dentist.
Like I live in suburban Chicago kind of a thing.
It could be the new midlife crisis vehicle, too.
It's not... Yeah, sports cars are out. Cybertrucks are in. Yeah. That makes total sense to me. Yes.
That's like when Hummers had, like, the big, resurgence. Yeah. I guess when I was probably a senior in high school, maybe, or around that time.
Yeah.
Like, and then everyone was like, "Oh, the damn, cool those people. Hummers."
The cool families had Hummers.
Yeah, the rich people.
Mm-hmm. And so, I'm kind of divided. I mean, seeing it in person, it looks cooler than like photos, but is it something I would buy? Not necessarily.
You're not buying
that amount of money.
And just because it's electric, like where would we hook it up around here?
Yeah. I mean, we barely have gas stations over here where we live.
My boyfriend's apartment complex has a parking garage with all like the electrical stuff in there. Yeah. And there's a lot of weird cars in there, cool cars. There's a Rolls Royce.
Oh, awesome.
There's like a whole lineup of I don't know if it's one person that owns all these cars, but there's like it looks like there's a show there every day, but it's just people parking. It's really cool.
Have you seen the Rivian?
Yeah.
I like those.
Yeah, so I went to a bartending event where the owner, he owned a Rivian, and so I asked him about it. He loved the car.
What's a Rivian?
It's an electric truck, but
it's not a cyber truck. It's a normal truck.
Yeah, it's just a truck.
It's just a truck. So where is this truck made?
I believe they have factories in the U.S., I think it's made in Texas.
That's Gans.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it. I guess this looks okay. I'm just not a.
And she's looking at the Rivian.
Yeah, yeah, I'm looking at
it
the Rivian.
It looks like
right
a
now.
Like a regular truck, like an F-150 or yeah. something. Yeah,
that's kind of neat.
I like old classic trucks. If I was gonna mm-hmm. get one, I would get like a Ford from 1975.
Yeah,
that would probably not drive.
Yeah, I think I've seen conceptual cars where they look more retro like that, but they're electric and they're modern, which is kind of a cool idea.
Yeah, like the Smeg fridges or whatever, you
yeah.
know,
that, yeah, like, that are right. also like $1 million.
Hello, that's gonna be amazing.
All right, so
but anyway, moving
final
back
conclusions,
to our
Cybertruck, yes or no? I'm gonna go with a no on that one.
No,
I'm just gonna say yes because I want to ride in it.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. Okay, so 3-1.
Listeners, you can weigh in. We'll post.
I think
a poll.
They're ugly, but I want to ride.
That's like. Sorry if anyone had this car among us, but PT Cruisers. God.
Oh my gosh. Bruiser, PT Cruisers.
Ugly.
I was going to say the Tesla Cybertruck reminds me of a modern day Pontiac Aztec.
Yeah. Okay.
Wasn't that like a hugely unpopular car?
Yes, yeah. It was made fun of for years.
I have my kid, I have twin boys, and one of them, I was in the car with him the other day, and we saw the Cybertruck, the weird purple one, and he said, Mom, you know how you know you're coming up on a Cybertruck? Your brain goes, what's that ugly thing? Oh, it's a Cybertruck.
Yep, that's like, so true. Right,
that seems, so true. That's a strong opinion.
Yeah.
They look really big, too, on the inside.
They do look big.
It's like kind of like a limo, almost.
Yeah, like they're known for being very spacious. That's why Shaquille O'Neal probably owns one. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
See, whereas I'm like, I want the smallest car possible for
me, too,
how short
especially
I am.
In Richmond, to park yeah. and zipping around.
I want to be comfortable. And not be looking at a touchscreen. I need to
yeah.
go
no.
on the road
yeah.
and feel what I'm
doing. That would be interesting to look at the statistics on accidents.
You'd probably like, be fine because you're in a tank, right?
Yeah,
well, that's
basically.
True, but I mean, how many people? Do they cause?
That's true.
All right, but, so moving on.
Yes, ma'am. You want to kick off the interview?
Oh, yes, Zali? My million-dollar question. Oh. Are you from Richmond? If not, what brought you here?
I am not. I'm from Virginia Beach, the far, far away land.
Oh, my God, you traveled.
The kingdom
so
of Virginia Beach.
The scary, scary backwater. I came here to go to VCU. And
yay, go Rams.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I got a history degree at VCU, and I got married very young, my sophomore year of college. I was 19.
Wow.
I know. And then I got divorced 10 years later.
I think you were getting married. I mean, you were married, I guess. Did you have the twins when you were?
No, I didn't have the twins until I was 26. So, okay. And I don't remember the year I left.
Maybe I was just like Facebook stalking you.
Oh, maybe. So I came here to go to school. I got married and stuck around. I mean, it's a great place to have kids, so.
That's cool. And what, you don't have to say like your address or anything, but what area in Richmond do you live? Like Churchill?
I'm actually in Chesterfield. So cool, I'm in the counties. I'm like out by Bon Air.
Oh, okay.
I love that area.
We actually looked at homes in Bon Air, and there's a lot of nice houses over there.
Yeah.
It is nice. I like the ones that look like old witch houses. Like the Victorians that are a weird color. I'm always tempted to try to buy one and paint it black, but I get a feeling nobody would like that.
They probably went black. I work over off Buford, so I always drive by the house where that has like the goat on top. It's so funny.
What is that story there?
I
I'm
know.
Like, get those people on your
we
podcast.
Should, yeah. I should like drop a card off at their house. Madam.
So, how did you first get into bodybuilding? I know when we introduced you, you said that you had like a health condition and your doctor told you to get working out.
Get fit.
Yeah.
Yeah. The health condition was pregnancy. So I had twins when I was 26. I had diastasis, so my ab muscles separated.
Okay. That's what I was wondering.
Yeah. And it was, you know, this was... How old are my kids? 13. So 13 years ago, obstetrics was a little different. It was still pretty, outdated. And no one told me to what to look out for or suggested physical therapy or even told me it was a possibility or anything. So I went seven or eight years with no core strength. And eventually it got so bad that I slipped a disc in my back.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And it was awful. Like the worst pain, worse than pregnancy. I mean, I had a C-section, so like I didn't go through labor, but worse than that, of course. And so, you know, my doctor was, you know, like, you need to go to PT and get your core strengthened. And then you've got to start lifting weights and get the muscles in your back strong enough that this disc doesn't move again.
Yeah. So I've read that back pain can originate just from weak muscles in your back. And like you were saying, your core. So yes. Yeah, that's one way just to eliminate it.
Yeah. I mean, the strength training has saved that. So, and it worked. Like my back never got any worse after I started lifting weights. And then I discovered that, like, I also have pretty bad ADHD. I talk about that on Instagram a lot. But spending an hour a couple days a week in the gym where I can just zone out and not have to try to be focused on something is, like, so great for that particular condition. So yes. It's been a lifesaver in a lot of ways.
That's amazing. Yeah. So do you mix in cardio at all? Or is it like...
I try not to. No, it depends on what season of bodybuilding you're in. If you're in like a bulk, like you're trying to get bigger and more muscular, there's not a ton of cardio because you don't want to burn the calories. You want to maintain the calories so that your muscles get bigger. If you're in prep for a show, like trying to cut your body fat down so you get really, really lean for the stage, then you do more and more and more and more cardio the closer you get. So I was doing 45 minutes, I think, the last 4 weeks of prep, I was doing 45 minutes a day, 5 days a week, on top of my gym sessions.
So how did you go from just going to the gym, your doctor told you about your abdomen muscles? So how did you go from just like working out in the gym to full on bodybuilding?
I need something to do. Like I need a goal. I need to be doing, like working towards something. So I've done like Spartan races. Those are super fun that you can train for.
Yeah, I think they're super hard too.
They are hard. Have you done one?
I think
no.
You did something else. That
I did
was crazy.
A mud challenge.
Mm. Oh, okay. Yeah. Our friend broke her leg doing it.
Oh my god!
Like, yeah.
Is that one of the ones with the electricity?
No, I don't think it had electricity, but you had to like do that kind of an
like
obstacle.
Scale a wall kind of thing and jump down the other side.
Yeah. Oh, is that how she broke her leg? Oh. Yeah, that's gross. I'm surprised. I'm very accident prone and injury prone. I'm surprised I didn't get hurt. But anyway, I thought about doing a marathon. I thought about doing a triathlon. I thought about doing all kinds of things over the years. But it just like that training schedule is crazy and didn't fit. I'm a single parent, so that like, didn't fit into my schedule. And then once I got to this year, or actually it was last year, I started training for the bodybuilding show. I was like, you know, I'm going to be 40 soon. And I'm in good shape, but I want to be in like...
The best shape.
Like when I hit 40, I want to be in good shape, you know? And so it just, that's the thing that came to mind. And it was right around the time of the Olympia last year. So I think it was Jennifer Dory who won. And I mean, you can look her up. She's beautiful and looked great. And of course they're on a whole bunch of steroids and I am not. Right. So like, it's not like it's an attainable thing for me. Also, she's like 23. But if I could get close to that before I turn 40, I'm going to try. So I found a coach and off I went.
So how'd you find the coach?
I have, one of my close friends, Laura, is a powerlifter. She's has like national records in powerlifting. Mm-hmm. And I had her ask her coach, like ask her if she knows somebody who will not starve me. Cause that's a big problem, especially for women in bodybuilding. When you get into prep, some people will cut you down to 800 or 900 calories a day.
Ooh, yeah, and it sounds like
awful,
hell.
Awful. I was nowhere near that low, but I wanted a coach who would not
kind
cut
of extreme
down
to do that.
Yeah, and you're in that for weeks, and weeks
must,
and weeks.
You must feel like shit, like
especially when you're burning so much. Like you're in a
you're
calorie
deficit 3 hours the whole
time.
How do you not pass out? Because I feel like I get really light if I don't eat before I work out. I'm like all like shaky.
I mean, once I got to the end of my prep, probably the last 2 or 3 weeks, if I stood up too fast, I would have to hold it. But I was eating way more than that. Like I was never down to 800 or 900 calories. And I specifically asked, like, find me a coach that won't starve me, that knows how to work with a woman who still gets her period. Cause like a lot of competitors don't get their periods anymore. Once you get down to such a low body fat percentage,
You know, I didn't know that.
You stop menstruating, which is, you're not supposed to, like, that's not
like all
normal.
The gymnastics people.
Yeah.
That I'm missing.
Yeah. And somebody who won't push me into gear. I didn't want to be on any steroids.
Oh, what's gear? Is that
steroids? Yeah. Sorry.
I've never heard it.
I've never heard that term either for steroids.
Gear, yeah.
I've heard roids, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I've heard stare.
Juice,
yeah.
But it's super common, and I didn't want to go anywhere near that, so.
So do they just analyze your body and come up with a program, or how does that work?
My coach?
Yeah, because I've always, like, I've kind of wanted to do something like this, and I would, like, dabble, like, searching online, and then, like, is this really going to work or is it bullshit? Like, I don't know.
Yeah. So depending on the federation that you compete in, there are natural federations where you're tested to make sure you're not on any drugs. And then there are the bigger ones that are much more popular. Each federation has its own standards for your division. So there's bikini, which is the thing I competed in, which is the smallest. Like your muscles are the smallest. You are not as crazy lean as some of the other divisions. And then it goes up to like wellness, which is very lower body focused, figure, physique, bodybuilding, etc. And the men is the same way. They don't have a bikini class, though they should. But they have their own classes.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah. And each one has a standard. Well,
they
in bikini,
have a speedo class.
They do. Yeah, yes, they do. The banana hammock one. It's not called that. I don't remember which one it's called. But some of the classes that, you know, for men, you're in like board shorts or whatever. But in some of the other ones, you get into the tiny little. But for bikini, the emphasis is for women is very much shoulders and glutes and your posterior chain, so like your hamstrings. So when I started with my coach, I sent a ton of pictures to her. She's in California, so she's not anywhere near me.
Oh, wow.
So I sent a ton of pictures to her and worked with her on like, okay, you need to bring your shoulders up a little bit. You need better tie-ins in your hamstrings, which is like where your glute muscles come down to the back of your leg and tie into your hamstrings. That point they really like to see. So we need to work on your tie-ins. And then she built me a workout program that would work those things and then put me into prep after that.
So how did you, like, if she wasn't physically with you at the gym, how did you know if your form was perfect? Like, was anyone watching you?
I recorded it. Oh, I'm that person. Wow. Yeah. So like, you know, if you see somebody recording themselves in the gym, sometimes they're obnoxious influencers, but sometimes
I thought they were the TikTok people.
Entirely possible. Could
TikTok
be both.
People.
Could be both. A lot of bodybuilders are influencers. I am not that. But I would have to record myself, not every exercise, but usually the last set of everything that I was doing when I was closest to failure and the most tired, that's what she wanted to see. So I would record that and send it to her and make sure I was in a corner where no one was around.
Did
so
you have to bring a tripod in and everything?
I did.
Oh, I guess.
I still have it, yeah.
That's cool.
I try not to bust out the tripod. Like, I try to set it up discreetly, my phone, just like on the floor. But if I have to use it, I have a tripod.
So it's always divided by gender then.
Yeah, which I could do a whole TED talk about, like,
the
gender binary in bodybuilding. There is no space for trans athletes or non-binary athletes whatsoever, because especially if you're in a tested division, because you can't be on any hormones.
Right.
Testosterone is the most common steroid, right? Like, women can't take testosterone in a natural federation. So if you're a trans athlete on hormones, you're not competing in a natural federation. Mm-hmm. You simply can't.
But you said that everyone uses steroids. So how do you sneak use steroids if...
You have to compete in one of the bigger non-tested federations. So in the federation that I competed in, the OCB, before you get on stage, you take a polygraph. Have you taken any drugs in the last 7 years?
A polygraph? Yeah. Oh, my God. I'd be like, I'm feeling this automatically. Yeah.
I had never been polygraphed before. So you go in there like, I know I haven't taken any steroids, but what if I did accidentally? And what if I set this thing off?
The polygraph, I think, is only 70% correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So...
So if you win, then you get the urine test.
Okay.
Yeah. So they're not going to pay to urine test every single athlete, but they will pay to poly you. And then at the end, if you win, you can't, like, you go off stage into the bathroom. If you you leave the backstage and go anywhere else, they disqualify you.
Wow.
So is that all drugs or just specifically steroids? Like, cause like, I'm sure a lot of people use cannabis like for pain control.
Oh yeah,
control,
no, that
like,
doesn't. They don't care about that. Okay. It's just performance enhancing, anything PEDs, anything they consider performance. It's a very long list.
Yeah.
And to which they have recently added Ozempic.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is not
interesting.
Yeah.
So what do you win if you win?
The glory? A weird statue. The glory. And well, it depends if you're an amateur or a pro. If you're an amateur, you get a statue and a medal. And you get a pro card, which qualifies you to go compete professionally.
Okay.
If you win the whole show. In a pro show, there's money. It's not a lot, but $5,000, something like
that. That's still amazing, though, if you win, because you spent so much time working. So, like, when you win, it's like, I don't know, it must feel amazing.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it feels both silly and awesome. Because, like, we are up here in the sparkliest bikinis and these giant stripper heels, and I am 4 shades of orange, you know, and I'm wearing more makeup than a drag queen. I actually feel like it's like straight person drag, I guess. Because you're so, like, emphasizing every single aspect of your femininity, and the dudes do the opposite thing. They emphasize as much masculinity as they possibly can when they get on stage. It is. It's exactly like a pageant.
Yeah.
I call it the muscle mommy
pageant. It's like a satire almost.
Yeah.
So why is, I guess it's just the culture. Like, why do you have to wear like sparkly things and be all tan?
Well, the tan is because of the stage lights. The stage lights wash you out and then you lose the definition in your muscle lines. So the darker you are, I mean, even like the black competitors get the tan and the glaze that goes on top because it counteracts the glare of the lights and makes your muscles more visible. The sparkly suits are weird. They didn't used to be sparkly, but as time has gone on, they've become more and more like overly feminized. They've always been in the stripper heels, though. That's always been
the stripper heels is because, like, you're all up, propped up.
Yes, and you have to walk in a very specific way. Like, you're faking a posterior tilt. So, like, your glutes are high and your tummy is tucked really tight, and then you have to maintain that as you walk.
Tits to God.
Tits up! Yeah, it hurts. It hurts a lot.
Do you stick your ass out or just, like, it's in...
Up. Like, if you can think about tilting your sacrum up to the sky so that your butt comes up higher.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. If it hurts, you're doing it right.
Okay. I was like, that just hurt my lower back.
Yeah, it sucks.
That's correct.
You have to do a lot of posing practice.
Well, so can that actually end up in more injuries, I guess, you who's trying to combat?
I'm fine. I mean, you're at this point, your muscles should be strong enough to withstand walking in a funny position for a while, but it does hurt. Like the next day after my show, I was so sore from just holding that tilt for so long.
Oh, this is a random question. Does your height matter at all in these competitions?
Yeah, it does as far as your classes. So like I won my open class. I was with other girls who were, I think, between 5'2 and 5'4. And then if you're shorter than that, you're in a class. The taller you go, the different classes you'll be in. Once you get to like the finals where the winner of each class goes up against each other, then you'll get people who are 5'10 and 5 foot, you know, and that should, it's like not supposed to matter, but how does it not? Because the taller girls at that leanness are always going to look a little bit thinner, you know, and like a little bit smaller, and the shorter girls are always going to look a little bit stockier. So it really just depends on what the judge's individual taste is for height on any given day.
Oh, so is there pressure to get plastic surgery? Like, breast augmentation and stuff like that?
No, not really. If you're a pro, there can be, because you're trying to create, in bikini at least, you're trying to create a very exaggerated X shape. That's why it's like glutes and shoulders. And so your boobs obviously matter. But if you've had surgeries like liposuction, that'll pop you on the polygraph.
Oh.
So you that's not encouraged. But you're not going to get dinged for like, I mean, you know, you lose a bunch of weight and you lose all of your body fat, your boobs are going to disappear.
Right.
And they know that. So like, you're not going to get dinged for it. But people who do this for a living will get fake boobs.
Wow. People do it for a living.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
She loves lifting. So she's like, oh, she
I haven't done it in a little while, but I do like to lift.
So where do these contests take place?
Everywhere. Mine was in Baltimore. There's one here. In December. There's one in Richmond in December, which I thought I was going to do, but then I would have had to be prepping over Thanksgiving, and fuck that.
Right.
I'm eating those potato trash bag of mashed potatoes.
What's the point of life?
I know. I'm not doing that. But they're, I mean, every major city. But the Olympia is usually in Vegas, I think, the big one.
Is there a specific name for the bodybuilding competitions in Richmond? Is there like a group?
It's called the Snowflake something, I think. I have to look it up on Instagram, but it's like, you know, and the medal is like a little snowflake.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah.
That's cute. We definitely want to get people, if they're interested in listening, like we want, they'll probably want to know, I cannot talk. They'll want to know how to get into it.
Oh yeah. It's the OCB is the federation that puts on the show here. So if you just follow them on Instagram, they'll have, the upcoming shows.
So do you have any role models or?
I don't know. Goodness. It's hard to find people my age who are competing. So there are a few like masters professionals who I like. Angelica, I think is her name. She was Miss Olympia for a few years in a row. And then she took off time to go have kids and came back and competed and still continued to do really well.
That's
which
amazing.
Is very impressive. Yeah. It's hard. It's hard after you have kids because it's what it does to your body. Like, you know, my waist is never going to be as small as those girls on stage. Not ever. Never again. And there's nothing I can do about it, you know? And that's fine. Like, that's not a negative.
Right.
It's just the truth. So for her to come back after having children and be successful was really cool. What's her name? Now you ask me that question, I'm forgetting everyone. Ashley... last name is escaping me, but she just won her 50th show.
Damn.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yes. And she's been an Olympian for many years. It's what kind of like the OG. But and of course, like Arnold, like who doesn't love Arnold?
Yeah. Oh, I was thinking Arnold, but I was like, is that too stereotypical? Or
no, he's the father, you know, of the whole kind of sport, and made it famous here. The poor guy's like. You talk about being roided up.
Liz, you should do your impression of Arnold.
Don't make me do it now.
I'm Arnold.
That was all of us at once. But
I like him in that 80s movie, about the Christmas one.
I know he was in Twins with Danny DeVito.
With Danny DeVito.
That's a classic.
Oh, that's funny.
But
I listened to his memoir on audio.
Oh my
gosh. Reads it.
Oh my god!
The part about making Twins and how he like went to the studio and had to fight for that movie because he was like, "No, I can be funny. I can do it." You know, and they were like, "Okay," but they let him try and it was great.
Then he got into comedy.
He proved him wrong. Right?
Kindergarten Cop is hilarious.
Oh my god, I love Kindergarten Cop.
It is.
Oh,
who can forget the Terminator? That's a good movie.
I guess.
Get to the chopper. I think about that every day at work. I think about the Terminator every day at work.
Why?
Because I work with AI. Like, for Amazon Web Services, so like AI is all we ever talk about. And I was like,
like, when is it going to become self-aware?
The singularity.
Yeah, right.
I'll call you.
Yeah. Well, so moving back to bodybuilding, what was your diet like when you were prepping for the competition?
So my prep was 6 months, which is longer than normal because this was my first show. And so when I started, I was eating a pretty normal amount. I maintained at 2,100 calories. And I had to cut down. By the end, I was at 1,400. So that's what I ended on was 1,400. Wow. Yeah, and it's mostly protein. So you're eating
a lot of chicken breast.
Yeah, ground turkey. And I couldn't eat broccoli at the end. I couldn't eat dairy. Because it causes inflammation, and they don't want you retaining any water. So I was eating mostly ground turkey and asparagus.
Just that for lunch and dinner and breakfast?
All three. Well, at breakfast I could have a little, like 45 grams of oats.
God, I'd be like, I'm being tortured and my piss smells like asparagus.
Oh. Super weird. Yes.
Yep. So I have a protein shake every day. What are your thoughts on whey protein?
Oh, it's fine. I couldn't have it when I was in prep because it has, because it's dairy basically. Like whey is, lactose. But I have like a Fair Life when I'm in my normal life. I have a Fair Life, which is just milk. It's chocolate milk.
What about creatine? I hear a lot about that.
Creatine is one of the only scientifically backed supplements.
That was one of my questions I actually have written down is, are supplements bullshit?
Yes.
So creatine is do you take creatine?
I do. I take creatine, vitamin D, and omegas.
Those I might start taking creatine.
Oh, God.
So what does creatine do for you, like in your performance?
It's like you maintain more of your muscle fibers over your recovery. And so like if you lift, I mean, the function or the mechanism of building muscle is you destroy yourself in the gym, you get these micro tears, in your muscle fibers. And then when you have a recovery day, your muscle fibers repair themselves a little bit bigger than they were the day before, but you have to have that recovery day, and creatine is helpful with that.
Will that aid in being sore? Cause I get sore super easily.
The DOMS.
No, but protein will. If you have a lot of protein after a workout within like 24 hours, usually that'll help with DOMS.
Oh, I never knew that.
I didn't know what DOMS meant.
It's like learning.
I always say DOMS. That's funny.
That's right. Delayed onset muscle soreness.
Yep.
I get that pretty badly.
Yeah, it sucks.
Always have.
It sucks.
Always have. Always will.
I am doomed.
Right now, I am feeling it.
So wait, are you preparing? Are you going to be preparing for next December or?
I am in my reverse diet now. So it's like the fourth trimester. after your show, a lot of athletes will immediately go out and eat everything in sight and gain 30 pounds and look awful and feel awful and all that. You really are not supposed to do that. You'll wreck your metabolism. You have to slowly reverse out of your deficit. So every week I add a little bit more calories and I decrease my cardio a little bit more. That will take me 3 months to get back all the way out.
So are you very strict about portion control? And do you use like, there are scale. These like bowls that I think you can put the portions in and it measures everything.
Perfectly?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I just have a food scale.
Okay.
From Amazon.
Yeah.
I just weigh stuff out by the gram. Okay. I do a lot of meal prep because I'm lazy. And
It's just easier to be able to grab and go when you're hangry.
Yes.
You're like, God, I need food now. I don't
we
cook.
Literally eat the same pot of soup. I mean, it's a different flavor, but I make a big pot every Monday and we eat it the entire week.
I love soup. I was so happy to eat soup again. After prep for that long, I was so happy.
So you're in bulking season, right? You're moving out of the, you said you're decreasing your cardio and moving. So you're bulking it.
I'm still below maintenance, so I'm slowly getting back to my normal body weight. I still have probably 10 pounds to go to gain back again before I'm at my normal, a healthy body weight and body fat percentage, and then I will start to bulk. So then I'll start to try to put on weight purposefully. I'll eat in a calorie surplus and to kill myself in the gym.
So what do you do for the calorie surplus? Do you have any favorites for that or?
Well, there's a couple ways you can go about it. They call it a dirty bulk where you just eat a bunch of fucking nachos. That's the fun way.
I love a dirty bulk.
That's how most people do it.
Yes. That's not advised.
Every Friday.
Yeah. I don't think that I have a favorite. You want really calorie dense. Eventually it gets hard. Eventually you're eating so much food that it's I hate this and I don't want to be doing this.
Yeah, you just feel like crap.
Yes. And it takes a lot of time. I feel like all I'm doing is eating. This is my full-time job.
Listening to what Michael Phelps would eat.
Right. Four or 5,000 calories.
It was ridiculous.
I was do you do anything but eat?
I saw a table of all the food that he ate and it was amazing. I was like, whoa, it just blew my mind how much he ate.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it sounds when you're in prep, you're like, I can't wait to get back to being in my off season. But I try to drink more of my calories when I'm to just make it easier. Okay. So the protein shakes, 40 bananas, as many calories as I can get in a liquid so that I'm not having to sit there and chew for 4 hours.
That's a good idea. It's easy to drink calories.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, it is.
have a few IPAs. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's not what they
probably shouldn't
not
drink
recommended.
Beer.
Yeah.
Hearing that. So do you have any goals past the competition, the next one?
I haven't decided yet. So I didn't realize, because prep is such a slow descent, how much it was turning my brain off. You're so routined. You work out 2 or 3 hours a day, every day. And then you're eating very little and you have to work and you have your kids and you have the whole thing,
Right.
And then I was falling asleep at 8 o'clock at night, sleeping as much as humanly possible. And the more normal I feel, the more I'm like, I'm never doing that again. But of course I will, I will. So I haven't quite decided what my next goal is, but the feedback I got from the judges was mostly make your butt bigger, which sounds like a great time to me.
Right.
So I don't know. The fact that I went into my first show and won my open class and I had never competed before. And that was not an age bracketed class. So I was probably the oldest person up there.
Oh,
which
wow. That's awesome.
Was great. Right. And I have my body is structured genetically in a way that lends itself pretty well to bikini. I have pretty wide shoulders for my size. I already have kind of a big butt for my size. So I think I could make a go of it. I would like to see if I can get a pro car. I don't know. There's just a lot of ways you could take it. It'll be a question of once I'm done recovering, can I do that again?
Okay. So I have a very specific question. So I do use a lot of free weights. What are some of the best exercises for pecs without using machines?
Okay. So the mechanism behind hypertrophy, which is muscle growth, is a very slow load at a maximum stretch. So if you've got, 20 pounds or whatever your weights are, if you are doing a chest fly very slowly on the eccentric and stretching as far as you can get that range of motion, and then you can come back. But that slow controlled descent on the on the eccentric with the weight. And then you progressively overload it. So the next day, try to make it a little heavier. Then try to make it a little heavier. And that is what is going to make a muscle grow, is that slow, painful, stretch. You really want big range of motion.
Okay.
It seems like it'd be really hard with free weights to get a lot.
I think it's better with free weight. I prefer a free weight to a machine.
Well, I guess I mean at a gym.
Oh.
With space constraints.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I guess it depends on the
Don't make
the
him
gym.
Get more weights.
Okay. You don't need any more weight.
But the same goes for glutes, too. Just that slow range, getting all the way down with a squat and then slowly coming up.
Ass to grass. Yep. Ugh. If you have the mobility, put your butt. I can't squat, actually. I have arthritis in my right knee, so I can't squat at all. Yeah, so I just hip thrust.
Apparently the best thing you can do for your glutes to grow them.
Yeah. Yeah, but you also, it's the same thing, though. Like, it's a slow descent. The up doesn't so much matter, you know, but, like, you need to very much control the movement. It's not a... I think people get a little confused between, like, the difference between bodybuilding and, like, powerlifting or weightlifting, where you're focused on strength. It doesn't matter how strong you are to bodybuild. Like, you don't... I lift probably half as much as I used to when I was focusing on just getting stronger. Right. Because the size of your muscles doesn't correlate always to the strength of your muscles. It can feel almost like an ego hit that, like, I'm knocking 20 pounds off this lift so that I can be really slow and controlled and make this muscle a little bigger, but you feel like,
That's so interesting, because when I thought with the hip thrust, I thought it was the upward motion that was, but it's the slow descent.
It's both, yeah, it's both. Okay. I mean, you when you're coming up, you need to make sure you lock all the way out. Like, you should be a flat line, because I'll see a lot of girls, I mean, it's usually girls. I don't see a lot of guys hip thrusting, but I'll see a lot of girls who, like, load it up with as much weight as they can possibly get on, and then the way they come up, they're not...
They can't.
They're not... doing it to the, like, that's not a full range of motion. So, like, you're not really getting a ton of effect there.
That's good to know. Random question. How old do you have to be to bodybuild? Can you be a kid?
I think in the OCB, you have to be 16 with parental permission. But they do have, like, a teen division. So you can be a kid, yeah.
And can you be, like, 90 years old in doing this?
Yes. Yeah, the master's class goes up to whatever.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's cut. It's, like, cut into groups. So I think it's 35 to 45, and then maybe 45 to 55, and then 55 over, something like that. But they do cut the master's classes up.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And I've seen, there was a lady at my show in October who was in her 60s and had 9 children.
Wow.
And she was in the figure division, which is like figure, those girls are shredded and they're huge.
Does she know the Duggars?
I don't know.
Perhaps.
But she looked bananas for having 9 kids. She looked bananas for just a person, you know.
She's been eating a lot of them.
I know. Yes, yes. But
do they recommend doing, like, icing to help with pain, or, you know, you hear about cold plunge all the time now.
Oh, yeah.
Ice bath.
I was never told to do any of that.
For recovery.
Yeah. Mm. I don't know. Maybe. Andrew Huberman says it's good, but I don't know.
Right. I did college soccer, and we had to do that, and I hated it.
Cold plunge?
It was terrible.
I'm not doing that.
Terrible.
No. I feel like my coach could tell me to do it. I'd be like, okay, and then I would never do it.
I'd get in for a second, and then I'm like, I physically can't do this.
Yeah. It sounds painful. It looks painful.
It is.
I don't know. Anyway, I know we have many more questions, but I think we should move on to the next segment. Before we move on,
I have one last two-part question. I followed you from ENT into your book write career, which I'm an avid reader. Any good book recommendations?
Oh, God. I'm reading The Immortalists right now. Have you read that?
Okay, I haven't read that.
By Chloe Benjamin. I actually have no idea what it's I had no idea what it was about going in because my book club picked it. I like joined a book club in my neighborhood.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
It's super cute. It's like, yeah. I'm looking up in my Goodreads. Yeah. Chloe Benjamin.
The Immortalists.
Yeah.
I'm going to write this down on my list.
If you knew the date of your death, how would you live your life? That's...
I've read
the first, like, third of it, and it's this family of Jewish kids in the 60s in New York who go to see a fortune teller who tells them the date of their death and then follows them as they live up into that date.
I thought that was a movie, too.
Maybe it might be.
Something else. Maybe it's, like, a similar
storyline.
Yeah. Other than that, I'm reading the Women's Prize long list, all of them, the fiction and the nonfiction books. Yep. So right now I'm on Code Dependent, which is very timely for my job. It's about the problems with AI, all the problems that it's causing or could cause.
We actually just talked about that. And the last question from me, how can we support you? How can people get into the bodybuilding community? How can they support you?
Oh gosh. you can follow me on Instagram. It's at I'm Amanda Nelson. I talk about all kinds of, like today I had like a 20-minute conversation about AI and how I use generative AI. But I talk about politics and history, books, and bodybuilding.
Cool. And then what's the count again for just bodybuilding enrichment?
Oh, yep. It's the OCB is the name of the federation. And if you don't care about, like if you're interested in taking surge or you don't care so much about being a natural competitor, then you can follow the IFBB. That's the more famous federation that the Olympia comes out of. So either one.
Cool.
Cool.
All right, we're going to move on to our next segment, yes. But you can chime in as well.
Yes. You going to drop it on us, Big Daddy?
Yes, I'm going to drop it on you. And as I mentioned on this episode, I'm going to be talking about the origins of Krampus.
Oh, Krampus.
Krampus, yeah. And so the origins of Krampus are deeply rooted in pre-Christian Alpine traditions dating back to pagan rituals for the winter solstice. Mm-hmm. He is often seen as a dark counterpart to Saint Nicholas, the benevolent gift giver. Krampus is half goat, half demon creature from Central European folklore known for punishing naughty children during Christmas time. He is often depicted as a terrifying figure with horns, fur, and a long barbed tongue. Oh. Krampus is believed to originate in Germany. The name Krampus is derived from Old High German, the word Krampen, meaning claw, which is fitting for his appearance. While St. Nicholas rewards good children, Krampus punishes the naughty ones with a bundle of birch switches or even drags them off to the underworld. In American culture, St. Nicholas gives a lump of coal to naughty children as punishment, while in German culture, the Kinderchildren are given moral retribution and much worse than a lump of coal.
Oh, damn.
Krampus, he is depicted carrying chains with a basket to hold naughty children. In recent years, Krampus has experienced a resurgence in popularity. The renewed interest is often seen as a reaction to the commercialization of Christmas and a desire to reclaim more traditional and sometimes darker aspects of the holiday season. The Krampuslauf is an event which means Krampus run. Austrian men would get drunk and run through the streets dressed as the fearsome creature. Krampus cards also became popular in the 1890s. Ones marked Gruß vom Krampus, meaning greetings from Krampus, showed Krampus stuffing a distressed child into his satchel or preparing to hit one with his bundle of birch sticks.
Oh my God.
Many of these postcards depicted Krampus going after children with big sticks, leading them away in chains or carrying them off in his bag.
Very dark.
Here in Richmond, and these events have since passed by a couple days, there is the Krampus Loft, which began in 2013. It's in Carytown, and it surprised shoppers and businesses, owners alike, with a costume parade down sidewalks in the commercial district. RVA also has the annual Krampus celebrations known as a Krampus Walk in Carytown, Krampus Brunch, Krampus Ball at Fallout. Unfortunately, like I mentioned, these events will have passed since the recording.
Damn it.
And Krampus is also the name of a horror comedy released in 2015. The plot is about a boy who loses his Christmas spirit, and end result, Krampus is released and terrorizes a neighborhood in a blizzard.
It's really funny, too. It's scary.
I thought you said a horror comedy.
I did, too.
Yeah, like horror.
Who's the whore?
Krampus.
Krampus doesn't like whores.
But in closing, be good or Krampus will come out.
Krampus.
And take you away.
Well, keep an eye out for next year.
Yeah.
All right. So that concludes Drop It On Us, Big Daddy.
Thanks.
Thanks, Big Daddy.
Sounds very German.
Yeah.
Krampus. I know, because Dwight talked about it on The Office, and that was pretty fun.
Yep, that was good.
Scaring the children.
We have some upcoming events.
We do.
You want to kick it off? Yes.
Sure. So Lakeside does their annual Christmas market. So that's going to be held on Sunday, December 15th. Twisted Carrot Farm presents a local collaborative market event full of goodies crafted by local makers.
Makers.
This event is free and family friendly, but no pets. said, don't bring your dogs, which is kind of strange, I feel like, for Richmond.
Yeah.
I know.
But enjoy lunch from the food trucks. There's local treats and drinks while you shop. And when you're there, there's so many surrounding the Lakeside Market. So there's Final Gravity Brewery. There's Killadillas. I've never heard of that. Jujubee's, Twig, RVA Antiques, Lakeside Barbecue, and SB's Lakeside Love Shack, which is my personal favorite in that area.
She's there every week.
I'm going tomorrow. and there's going to be holiday-themed craft workshops. You can make wreaths, decorations, ornaments, and more.
Damn. So, that's a lot.
This sounds like a good time. And then on Monday, December 23rd at 7 p.m., Bart Chucker's Christmas Eve party is going to be held at River City Roll. So that's on the 23rd. There's going to be just a lot of Christmas music and cheer and laughs.
Drinks.
And drinks. Lots of drinks. And nubs.
Oh, nubs.
Because it's River City Roll.
Oh.
Yes. And then on Tuesday, December 31st, it's New Year's Eve with Suggesting Rhythm Band at Hardywood Brewery. Come ring in the new year with RVA's most treasured Grateful Dead tribute band, Suggesting Rhythm. The drinks will be flowing, the vibes will be high, and the music will be grooving. So, go.
I'd like to highlight the Candlelight Holiday Special. Olivia, you went to one of their concerts recently and loved it. They'll be having the holiday music featuring music from the Nutcracker and more holiday favorites. That's on Thursday, December 19th.
The candles aren't real, though, sadly.
The Halloween one was fun.
You were there?
Really? Yeah.
I went to that one, too.
Oh, nice.
That's the one she went to.
Yeah,
we got my dad and his husband tickets last year for the Vivaldi one. I haven't been. I'm like, I want to go. Enjoy it, though, everyone else, with the gentle flowing music at the Bowling Haxel House. Tickets begin at $24. And then I have another market I'd like to discuss. Ooh. The Winter Moon Market. That's on Saturday, December 21st and Sunday, December 22nd, noon to 5 p.m. at Stone Brewing. I think we've been to that one before.
Most likely.
Maybe.
I don't think I've ever been to that brewery.
Oh.
It's right down the street.
Oh, yeah. Come enjoy an enchanted Richmond market with a holiday twist featuring vendors with a variety of goods, wellness products, candles, crystals, tarot, etc., etc. Be there or be square.
Krampus will get you.
That's it. Do you have any favorite markets you go to?
I didn't know that was like a thing. I feel like now.
You gotta jump on the wagon.
I know.
There's a lot of
find a good Well, there's like, does a farmer's market count?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I count.
Yeah.
There's one at Huguenot and Robius right by my house.
Is that the one that they call the, is that the South of the James?
Or the big market? I think that's the
Episcopal. Is it called the big market? I don't even know what it's called, but it's a big farmer's market. And yes, it's right by that greenhouse.
Yes.
And it's every Thursday, and they have popcorn, like the popcorn that they make there, kennel corn. It's so good.
Sounds good.
Yes. Yeah.
I used to take my dog there, but now he's big and scares people. So I don't do that anymore.
He's a baby.
He's a gentle giant.
A baby.
With a name like Petunia.
Oh, Petunia.
He wouldn't hurt a fly.
He would.
So cute. He would hurt a fly.
He would hurt a fly. Yeah.
He would maybe eat Boudreaux.
He might eat a baby.
He would very intensely sniff Boudreaux and freak him out.
Boudreaux prefers big dogs, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Boudreaux would want to marry him.
That's because Boudreaux thinks he's a big dog.
Of course. Of course. All the little ones do.
Yes.
As they should.
Boudreaux.
What have we got next? We've got our business of the week, Big Daddy.
All right. So our business of the week is a restaurant. And what is it? It's Proper Pie.
Ooh.
Yes.
And so, as you can imagine, they have pies there.
Proper?
Yes. Properly made pies. So it's located in Churchill at 2505 East Broad Street. This is a to-go restaurant that specializes in New Zealand-style savory and sweet pies. Mm. The pies are baked daily with a rotating menu. Examples of savory pies include steak and cheese, roast pork, apple and cheddar, and mince and cheese. They also have sweet pies like the Campfire that has chocolate and Nutella, Dutch apple pie, pumpkin and salted caramel pie, Banoffee, which includes bananas, whipped cream, toffee, yeah, and a graham cracker crust.
That sounds delicious.
This is my new kink, right?
I know. I'm really hungry.
They are
feeling
open,
kinky.
But they're open from 12 to 6 p.m. Wednesday through Sunday, so they're not open every day of the week. Proper Pie accepts online orders, or you can order through what they call the pie hole, which is their, yeah, which is their front door ordering window.
That's cute.
And there's always a line.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you.
And they are delicious.
Who were we with the other day? Was it my parents? They were like, "What is this line?"
Yeah, so we were just riding by on Broad Street, and we saw Proper Pie, and there's a line just going out the door.
What road is it on? Broad?
Yeah, it's on Broad.
It's the corner. It's the corner of like Broad and 25th.
Okay, so I've never seen it. I thought I have. I just didn't know what it was.
It's right next to St. John's Church. It's, you know,
yeah, like across
close
the
there.
I've never gone.
If you want to go to festival, Give Me Liberty or Give Me Death reenactment.
Yeah,
and
I know where that is.
Go have a proper pie.
Yeah,
and then walk down the street to the Patrick Henry and have a drink.
And get drunk.
I keep trying to get a pie from there for Thanksgiving every year, but they sell out so fast.
Yeah, you can just order them online and then you pick them up. So,
but I bet they only have a certain number.
Yeah, and they do. Supplies are limited.
Yeah.
Damn it. All right, moving on to the band of the week. Olivia already mentioned them. They are the Bart Chucker Band. The band comes in many iterations.
Many flavors.
Yes, Bart will perform as a two-piece, a trio. He'll do acoustic, electric. Typically, though, it's a six-piece band. They play everything from like Johnny Cash to the Grateful Dead, maybe a little Chris Stapleton thrown up in there.
Garth Brooks.
Nope.
That wasn't listed on the bio. on sax, we have the amazing John Leslie. He's had music featured on The Tonight Show.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
cool.
Drums, Jonathan Storrs. Guitar, John Leeds. Bass, Tom Crosby. Keyboards, Mark Zafransky. He's also the guy that owns Richmond's Metro Sound and Music.
Oh.
Yes.
That's a fun fact.
And then, of course, Bart is up there fronting the whole thing. And as we mentioned, if you guys want to check him out, they'll be playing on December 23rd at River City Roll. Music starts at 7.
Christmas Eve Eve.
Yes, Christmas Eve Eve. So if you have Christmas Eve off, if you're lucky enough to,
go.
Have fun. Go forth and spread holiday cheer.
Merriments.
Yes, yes.
Beat people with sticks.
Yeah.
Yes, or
yeah, Krampus style.
Chain drag the children away.
Baskets and
whatever
basket.
Your thing is, you know.
Hopefully that's not, oh, it's making an appropriate joke.
I kind of want to send Krampus cards this year.
Me
That'd
too.
Be funny. Yeah.
I want to send them to that lady who fired you.
Oh my gosh.
Except USPS just raised their prices now.
Worth it.
No.
My forever stamps are going to cost more.
They have to be your mortal enemies.
They are, because they deliver by mail at like 10 o'clock, but whatever.
At night?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, they're very late.
We just had our first incident of packages being stolen.
Oh my, so don't even go
I'm fired
there.
Up.
And it was all over some Shein. Like,
oh, yeah.
When she found out it was Amazon, she's like, okay, you know,
I
can deal with
that. Well, I
knew
they would give me my money.
Yeah,
but then she went crazy over Shein.
Because it takes so freaking long to get it.
It has That's to true. Cross all An those ocean. Vast oceans.
Vast oceans. My kids like to watch YouTube videos of people pranking porch pirates. If you want to watch something with some
yes,
challenge.
We
want to
do it. Yeah, we want some inspiration.
Yeah, there's a lot.
No, I know. We discussed booby trapping some stuff.
Or doing like poop dollar.
Like
did you ever do poop dollar back in the
no.
day? It's really gross, but
I've
I
heard
did
of
it.
A glitter bomb going
yeah.
off.
Yeah.
Poop dollar, you guys, is when you get a dollar and you use it as a glove and you pick up dog poop with it and then you leave it out and like watch people pick it
yeah,
up.
Yeah, I've seen that before. All right, so what we got for some
time.
Shout outs?
Shout out to. Let's see, all the mini markets.
Yes, shout out to the Lakeside Christmas Market. Shout out to Bart Chucker and the Christmas Eve Eve Band.
River City Roll.
Suggesting Rhythm Band. Hardywood Brewery?
Bodybuilding?
Yeah.
OCB. I was like, I know I'm going to forget the last one.
Is this Schwarzenegger? Yeah.
Yeah.
Final Gravity Brewing. Killadillas. Jujubee, Twig, RVA Antiques, Lakeside Barbecue, SB Lakeside Love Shack.
Yes. Any other shout outs?
Yes, first and foremost, shout out to Krampus and the Naughty Children, yeah?
Yeah.
But for real, Die by Fry is a new restaurant that just opened November 12th on Brooklyn Park Avenue, and they're owned by the same owner as Slay Burger.
Ooh.
So you can imagine the goodness that awaits. It's a restaurant that exclusively serves loaded fries.
Oh my God, don't tell me
We're
this.
We're going to die by
and items include buffalo bacon ranch fries,
oh my yes.
pizza Cholesterol. Fries, brisket fries, bang bang shrimp,
bada bing,
fajita fries, and gyro fries, and that's just some of many.
Oh my God.
I might die actually.
Why did you have to tell me?
I have high cholesterol, so I'm not supposed to have bacon or fries.
Oh my God.
So I'm going to die.
I'll eat yours.
Yeah.
I know. I'm like,
yeah, we'll make up for that. Yeah.
All right, good.
You can eat some couscous.
I'll eat quinoa. Yes.
I really like quinoa.
I do too, actually. I like a little bit burnt.
Mm, interesting. I make mine in chicken broth instead of water.
Mm. Oh, that sounds good. Flavor. Yeah.
That's good.
That sounds amazing.
That's a good idea.
Anybody you'd like to shout out?
Oh, Amanda? Gosh. Oh, no, now, hold on. Let me think. I'm trying to think of some, like, really cool Southside thing, and I'm totally blanking. I don't know. Can I? The Crunch Gym at Chesterfield Town Center.
Is that your favorite gym?
I've been going there for years. I mean, there are very nice bodybuilding gyms in Richmond, RVA Iron, like, you know, that have beautiful posing rooms and all that. But the Crunch at the mall is 5 minutes from my house, and no one talks to me. And that's all I want.
That's good to know. Like, you don't need to go to some fancy gym to bodybuild.
No, you absolutely do not. You do not. They are cool, you know, and like there's a community and you can find a coach and the posing room is nice. I would love to have a posing room, but you don't need any of that. You don't need any of that. You just need heavy things.
It's good
to know. You can just get like some good lighting at your own house and like get a four-way mirror.
Maybe? I go into the yoga studio at the Crunch when no one's in it and use the mirrors there. I'm sure that everybody there thinks I'm weird, but whatever.
You're in the zone.
Yeah, who cares?
The auto zone.
Fuck what people think.
Yes.
Do what you want 100%. And enjoy life.
Amen, brother. All right, guys. I think that's a wrap.
Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. It's so nice to meet you.
Me too.
And remember to follow us, like us, give us something.
On olala underscore RVA.
Yes, please. All right, until next time.
Happy holidays.
Ciao.
Be good this year. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Auf Wiedersehen.